Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and click that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. But Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's. Oops.
All right. Well, Dan, I've been trying to figure this out since I don't know when, it seems like, but when did winning no longer become important when it comes to sports? Now, I get with little kids and stuff, you know, everybody gets a trophy, but you know, last night they had the home run derby. And, you know, Shohei Ohtani was the number one seed. Not only did he not win, he didn't come anywhere close to winning. He got knocked out in the first round by Juan Soto. And yet, all I've heard anybody talk about was Ohtani. And here, even Jeff Passan, who's a baseball reporter, wrote, "How Shohei Ohtani won the night without winning the Derby." Okay, shouldn't we be talking about Pete Alonso and winning the Derby more than we're talking about a guy who got knocked out in the first round?
Or what Stephen A. Smith said about Shohei Ohtani not being able to speak English.
And, yeah, you know, I didn't hear that one. So.
Yeah, but he made a comment. And he's still on air. Would you believe that? Kind of
remember, Jalen Rose didn't get punished
for
calling Kevin Love the token white guy. And, you know, if somebody would have said that about a black athlete, they'd have been fired. So that's just kind of how it is.
Yeah. So, but either way, I don't know. I mean, what he's doing is great, I think. But the fact that he didn't win. So... But,
right.
I want to make the joke, oh, you know, it's because a white man won it, you know, not only that, but, you know, a cancer survivor and then home run derby winner. But, you know, regardless of that, I mean, let's be honest, the baseball is just following the marketing that basically the NBA does, you know, where you just get behind one guy and that's it. And they've made it so that all the reporters want to report on, especially on an event like yesterday, is Shohei Ohtani, because that's going to grab everyone's attention. You know, it's all about, I don't want to say it's clickbait, but it almost becomes that because you're just going after the hot star and you're trying to sell the game. But I don't think it works as greatly as they want it to. But my point is, with MLB marketing kind of going that Shohei Ohtani route, it makes him so popular that that's all the reporters want to write about, because what do they want you to do? They want you to click on their link, their Twitter, and read their article, and then subscribe to Athletic for too much money a month, or more money than I want to spend a month.
Pay for ESPN Plus, that is just not going to happen in this lifetime, so... You know, but well, you know, the thing that makes it even better is, well, this is Alonso technically went back to back because they didn't have it last year. He's now one of only five players to win multiple home run derbies. You know, I know Junior has three. Your guy Cespedes has two. Obviously, Alonso's one, and I'm pulling a blank who the other two guys are. But yeah, you know, I mean, you joined this pretty much exclusive club, and nobody cared. You know, maybe the New York media talked about him, because the national media sure didn't talk about him. I mean, yeah, he got a passing mention. Oh, by the way, Pete Alonso won, but Ohtani did this. And then for whatever reason, they kept talking about, well, you know, they hit more 500-foot home runs than in any other contest and blah, 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 and this and that and yada, yada, yada. Well, if you think about it, one, they were in Colorado. Two, they didn't put the balls in the humidor beforehand. And three, you damn well know they gave them gassed-up baseballs. So what did you think was going to happen? They were going to bounce balls off the top of the wall? Yeah, it was completely set up for them to hit bombs, okay? You know,
well,
just
I mean, it's,
shut up already.
It's, you know, it's not the it's the home run derby. You know, they're not going to soak the balls in water and then have them try to hit those, you know.
You know, and I understood that, but the media acted like the general public is stupid and we didn't know this. You know, I mean, it was, you know, they had already said that the balls wouldn't be put in the humidor. They were asked about it. You know, we know the ball has been gassed up for years now because Major League Baseball wants more home runs. They think it's banned. That's why they're so pissed off about this year, because all anybody does is strike out. So they're trying to, you know, adapt to the pitching. But, yeah, it was just, you know, I just kept hearing about it and kept hearing about it, and it was like, morons, shut up already. Please. So. So, yeah, I don't know if you heard the lines here, but I'm going to run them out to you here real quick here. We'll start with the American League. They are the visitors. You know, and this was big news, of course, as well, because Ohtani is leading off. Technically, he's the DH, even though he's also the starting pitcher. And, Dan, you know, I'm willing to bet if you went through history that this is probably the first time with a pitcher with an ERA of 3.47 is starting an All-Star game. But you and I both damn well know they're doing it to try to get viewers to tune into the start of the game. Vladdy Jr.'s hitting second. The real American League MVP as of right now, Xander Bogaerts, is hitting third. Aaron Judge is fourth. Rafael Devers is fifth. Marcus Semien is sixth. Sal Perez is seventh. Teoscar Hernandez hits eighth. And Cedric Mullins hits ninth. In the National League, Max Scherzer gets the start, but he's not going to hit, Dan, okay? Your guy Fernando Tatis Jr. leads off. Max Muncy hits second. Nolan Arenado is third. Freddie Freeman is fourth. Nick Castellanos is fifth. Jesse Winker is sixth. JT Realmuto is seventh. Brian Reynolds is eighth. And Adam Frazier hits ninth. And what I find really interesting about this lineup, Dan, is the fact that between the injuries, the fake injuries, and guys just not wanting to go, that the Pittsburgh Pirates, who I believe are the second worst team in the National League, have two starters in the All-Star game. Uh-oh, did I kill Dan?
No, I muted myself because my dogs were barking. You missed me laughing. So it just cracked me up. It just cracks me up because I don't really care. You know, I'm not that upset about it, but it just again continues to validate my point, and the All-Star stuff is just kind of pointless.
And I actually did, like, Buster only had a really good idea of, you know, he said that during spring training, every player should be asked if he's interested in participating in the All-Star game. And then if that player is not interested, he should be taken off the ballot so fans can actually vote for players that show up. You know, because like a lot of guys, like, I don't have a problem with Jacob DeGrom not wanting to go. You know, he's had some injury issues. You know, Carlos Correa didn't want to go because his wife is pregnant and apparently is due any day, so he wanted to be there for that. You know, stuff like that doesn't bother me. But, like, what the crap that the Mariners pulled, I don't know if you saw this one, Dan, but Yuki Kikuchi got named to the All-Star team. Seattle put him on the DL the day the break started. They took him off today, but it's too late for him to get to the All-Star game and participate. So obviously there was nothing wrong with him because he was on the IL for all of 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, and they backdated it to his last start so they could make it the 10-day thing and he wouldn't miss any time. But my guess is he'll be their starter when their season resumes on Friday. So they basically just gamed the system.
Hey, they don't call them loopholes for nothing.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, that's just kind of, you know, that's just kind of crazy. I mean, the odd part was, I believe he was their only representative, and I don't think another Mariner was named. So there won't
be,
there's no other Mariner. So you won't see a Mariner in tonight's All-Star game.
I was going to say, can you name another Mariner?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, obviously I can. You know, I mean, I don't know if they would deserve to be All-Stars, but, yeah, I could easily run down multiple Mariners if you'd like me to. So,
yeah, that was a joke.
But, yeah, it was just kind of like, okay, so you kind of screwed yourself out of being represented. That was so stupid. You know, I mean, you could have sent him and then you could have just asked him off. You know, that wouldn't have been difficult. Because, you know, anybody who pitched on Sunday isn't pitched tonight. So that's all I can say. But, yeah, it was just like, you know, moral. You guys are just idiots. The bottom line, whoever's running the Mariners is just an idiot. So.
It's all about player preservation.
Yeah. You know, I get it. They're contending, technically. You know, they have a winning record. I think they're in third place. They're kind of hanging on to the wild card. You know, one of the wild card contentions there. Will they get there? No, I doubt it. They're the Mariners. They're technically not that good. Like, for them, the Rangers suck, and the Angels also suck. So that helps them greatly because they're in the same division as those two teams. But, yeah, you know, again, I mean, would it have been that difficult to send him, have him introduced, and then just say, hey, you know, he's going to pitch? You know, really? Okay.
Yeah, scamming the system or working the system.
Yeah, you know, it's like being a professional wrestler. They're just gaming the system. So.
Mm-hmm.
So, but all right, well, you know, I have to ask you, since we had a chance to talk, and I, of course, tweeted you this right away when I found out. With the Ronald Acuna injury.
When I found out, I fell over like Colin McGregor. That's how bad it was. I got the text. I took a step back because I was in shock, and yeah. Fortunately, I didn't dislocate or whatever the hell he did. It was honestly, I was pretty surprised. I think, I don't know if I had the game. I had something where I was keeping up with it, just happened to be watching or listening or on my phone with it. And then I got the I think I got the MLB announcement, and then I got your tweet within probably not even a minute. So, you know, for me, it's just kind of twisting into the fantasy. Well, you know, it take me out of it. You know, it sucks for my team, but, you know, it's fantasy, and we're not playing for money. So it is what it is. But when you think about it, this kid has a hell of a future, and kind of sucks that he's out of the game. I think he's one of those reasons you want to go down to Atlanta and see a game, see them live. But, you know, this is not – I'm not saying I predicted this at all. Don't say that. Nor would I wish an injury like this to happen to him. Even from when I seen the play, I'm like, you know, it doesn't look like anything really, but that's how it happens, right? Triple H took one step and was out for the year, it seemed like. But, you know, you think about his perspective and you just kind of, I think it just really sucks.
So, but yeah, well, you know, and then you've got to kind of want, what do you think this means for the Braves?
Yeah, and that's exactly where I was going with it, is the way the season's been playing out, I just didn't see them fully as going to be a full-time contender. And, you know, it's kind of one of those where I had a feeling something would happen where they just wouldn't produce. Obviously, I wasn't wishing or even thinking that anyone would have an injury like that. I just thought something wasn't going to click. And, you know, I think this is one of those things that kind of puts them down a peg. You know, it's...
Yeah, and
they're not...
They've,
you know,
had
not
a...
just losing stats.
Yeah.
You know, you're using,
you know,
the player.
Yeah, they've had
the locker room.
They've had a surprisingly poor season. You know, they're one game under 500, but they are only four games out of the division. You know, the Mets aren't running away with that division. The Phillies are in front of them by a half a game. You know, we're back to the situation where the Mets are the only team in that division over 500. So, you know, they're still in the race. And, you know, now they're missing not only Acuna, but I believe, which pitcher is it? Is it Peter? Is it, you know, I believe one of their pitchers is also hurt. So, you know, and Acuna's done for the year. I mean, he blew the ACL. You know, that's it. So
yeah, I dropped him, sadly. Number one pick, Big Jack. Had to drop him.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, and you just kind of wonder, you know, can the team rebound? I mean, they're still not a bad team, you know, altogether, you know, now, but now, you know, they're missing two of their three starting outfielders, because don't forget Marcell Ozuna is still hurt. And then he's also probably got suspension to deal with if and when, or not suspension now, for that that incident he had with his, I believe it was his wife. So, but yeah, it's just, it just hasn't went the way I think a lot of people thought going for the Braves. You know, I mean, there were a lot of people who saw them as the best team in the East, and, you know, there were even some people who thought they had an outside chance of going to the World Series. I think they may have been the third behind, you know, the Dodgers and the Padres. So, yeah, it's just been kind of an odd year. But do you think... You know, I guess they wouldn't become flat-out sellers because they don't really have the pieces to sell. But do you think it's possible we see them kind of make a roster move or two and maybe move a veteran guy if they could find the right fit?
Well, who would you suggest moving? I'm like, there's no way you're moving
Freddie
Freeman.
Well, you know, you know, they, yeah, you know, obviously, you know, those type of guys are going to go, but, you know, they do have, you know, Charlie Morton is there with them this year, and he's on just a one-year deal. You know, is it possible a contender stops by and says, hey, you interested in possibly moving him? Or, you know, Drew Smiley is on the same deal as well. You know, Ender Inciarte, you know, he does have an option, but he's in the last year. He could be a valuable piece for a contender. Maybe even your guy, Panda, coming off the bench for the right team there, or possibly as a occasional DH in the American League for the right team. You know, he's on a minimal one-year deal. How, you know, does he become attractive?
Yeah, it's possible.
So, you know, I mean, they do have some, you know, relievers. Chris Martin is in the last year of his deal. So is Josh Tomlin. You know, I mean, obviously not, you know, what you would call top names. You know, Drew Smiley's another veteran starter who's in just on a one-year deal. So, you know, they have some pieces where, you know, they wouldn't, you know, I mean, obviously they're not going to get a ton in return. I think you could do okay for like a Charlie Morton. But, you know, you could still add a young piece here and there and kind of continue your way. And, you know, they do have a very good minor league system, so they could just kind of continue to add to it in this type of situation if they don't think they're going to contend, right?
Yeah. So it could be probably one of the best routes to go. I mean, would you say Charlie Morton seems to be more the guy who you might think they'd be able to unload the quickest?
You know, I would assume he would get the most attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, think about it. If you're a contender and you think you're one rotation piece away, boy, you know, he's had a lot of postseason success, not only with Tampa Bay but really with Houston. You know, that could be a nice little, you know, hey, let's throw him in here and see if it floats. You know, could he be the Dodgers replacement for Trevor Bauer?
I knew you had a team in mind.
Oh, well, yeah, actually, how badly could you use them with the way their rotation has kind of fallen apart, with the exception of Gerrit Cole?
Yeah.
You know, even the Red Sox, who have only had really good success with maybe two starters. You know, I think Nick Pivetta has been a surprise, and Nathan Eovaldi has been really good. But trust me, I have Eduardo Rodriguez, and he hasn't been good. You know, I know they're getting Chris Sale back, so that'll help. But, you know, he is coming back from Tommy John, so it wouldn't hurt to have Charlie Morton in there either and try to lock up that division, because, you know, you've been a big surprise. You know, or if the Giants want to hang around, you know, that could be a nice add there into that rotation. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of teams would be interested if the Braves even just kind of hinted he was available.
It would be interesting. I mean, they don't have much time to be sellers, do they?
No, and, you know, they do have four of their top 30 ranked prospects, you know, four of them are in AAA as starting pitchers. So, you know, and they also have, you know, Sean Newcomb is down there who has some major league experience. And so they did sign Tanner Roark as a free agent, and that's where he's pitching. So they have some experience down there if they wanted to go that way, or if they wanted to give a young guy a shot and let him come in and fill into the rotation. So, yeah, I mean, there are ways, you know, they fill it. if they wanted to move, be Orton or Smiley or both or however it worked out for them. You know, and then, you know, the same thing now, you know, with Acuna hurt, Ozuna, whatever you want to call him, you know, if they were to move Enciarte, this would be the perfect time to bring Christian Paichi back up and just let him play every day and see how it works out. You know, because, I mean, otherwise you're looking at, you know, Acuna's replacement is Ahead Andrianza. You know, Johan Camargo is back up, and they have Abraham Almonte. Not, you know, and they're already starting Guillermo Heredia in the outfield in place of Ozuna. So they're not exactly blowing the doors off, you know, when it comes to big name guys filling in these spots.
No.
So, you know, but with the injury to their catching, you know, their catching tandem right now is a couple of former White Sox, Kevin Smith, kind of in LaCroix, even though I'm sure most people remember LaCroix as a Brewer. He was with the White Sox for a short period of time. So, yeah.
How much... I mean... Right before the All-Star break, just as it happened, you know?
Yeah, you know, and I mean, obviously that makes it even worse because of the timing there. So, you know, that's just terrible. Yeah.
Well, and I could see why, you know, your first question, what do you think they're going to do? I mean, you hit the All-Star break and you only have so much time. I guess, you know, do you decide now if you're a seller?
Yeah, it's definitely... You know, it's definitely a tough spot for them, you know. So, yeah, it just, you know, well, there's never a good time for that. So, you know, but, yeah, it's kind of, you know, just kind of make, you know, and then the worst, of course, it has to be season ending. You know, it can't just be like, oh, you just a tweak or a twist or a sprain or this or that. No, that's it. He's done. So.
How the cookie crumbles.
But yeah. Yeah, you know, and I mean, the sad part is, I mean, they still have a really good pitching staff, you know, with Morton and Fried and Ian Anderson and Smiley. You know, they've been having a little tough, you know, a tough spot trying to fill that fifth starter role, but, you know, so it's just terrible that it just kind of ended up this way. So, but yeah, well, I guess we'll have to kind of monitor that. I think you and I are the first people to actually discuss the Braves as possible sellers. You know, I mean, obviously. You know, there are certain teams that you know would be willing to sell. They could, you know, construct the right deal. I mean, there's a big list of them from, you know, the Orioles, Tigers, Royals, Twins, the Rangers, you know, in the American League. And then, you know, you got the Marlins, the Pirates. My guess is you could throw the Cubs and the Cardinals in there with the way their years went, and then the Diamondbacks and the Rockies in the National League. But, yeah, I haven't heard anybody the Braves as possible sellers. So I guess we are groundbreaking, aren't we? We're not like everybody else. So.
No, it's not the Ohtani hour. You know, but I'm not going to take anything away from him. I think it's exciting what he's doing. And Big Jack, I just think I fell into that that trap where, you know, all my neighbors are out there cutting their grass. Do I go out there when they're done?
Yes, you do.
But,
well, no, and you know, like, yeah. I agree with you. He's done fantastic. And, you know, obviously what he's doing being, you know, allowed to pitch and hit is groundbreaking. But,
well,
you know, it's just. It's not the earth-shattering thing that everybody thinks it is.
No, and, well, you know, and I would like to explain, I think, kind of where you're coming from is the fact that the one thing we've discussed so many times is, you know, what good is just one player? He's great for marketing, advertising, and all that good stuff,
yeah.
But at the end of the day, just like Mike Trout has been for the last 10 years, essentially, you know, the marketing king, well, not him, but the marketing face of Major League Baseball, and yet the Angels' only chance, they were swept by the Royals. You know, so it's like you use one guy and then you're not really going after the team, and then it kind of falls back and makes you sit back and actually realize, because we brought this up so many times, more so I brought it up so many times, was when LeBron James came out and said, well, what defines most valuable player? And I think at the time,
yeah,
and because of his behavior, it sounds like a defeated kind of a crybaby thing that he's saying. But then when you look at it, what does define most valuable player? You know, are you talking about what does the value mean? You know, because if you're adding the value that the team is better because of him and just him, well, then, no, he doesn't win. But, you know, didn't help his team get to the playoffs, you know, the whole nine. But if you're literally just talking about the most valuable player to Major League Baseball, well, that's how they've structured, you know, that's how they've positioned him. So, of course, that's how they're going to vote. You know what I mean? So, you know, is it really any different than what politics do now? I don't know. So it just makes it hard,
well,
you know. And I think that's one of the things we've talked about so much was they need a definition.
When it comes to MVP, and they've talked about MVP over the years, the reason guys like Edgar Martinez, David Ortiz, Nelson Cruz never really contended for the award was because their main position, and I believe in Edgar Martinez's only position at the time he was putting up numbers, was designated hitter. So people wrote them off immediately because they did not DH. You know, remember when Miggy won the Triple Crown and they downplayed his accomplishments, did everything they could to give the MVP to Mike Trout. Oh, well,
oh,
he's
yeah,
a better base runner and he's a better defender. And Miggy won the three biggest catches there were, and I believe the Tigers even playoffs that season.
Yeah.
While
how is it?
Watch at home.
And if you put Miggy in center field, yeah, Mike Trout wins as better defender.
Right.
Put,
you know, so
now,
again, all of a sudden, that doesn't matter. Like I heard somebody say today, well, you know, Ohtani's going to play both ways. Well, no, he's going to pitch, so technically he'll be on the field. But he's not going into the outfield when he's done. You know,
yeah,
he's done so with the Angels occasionally. He's played minimally in the outfield, but no more than David Ortiz did with the Red Sox when he was putting up giant numbers, or Frank Thomas did with the White Sox in the later years of his career. He ended up in Oakland and Toronto. You know, it's, you know, it's not like he's out there, you know, like he played the field the majority of the time that year. He wasn't strictly a designated hitter.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but somehow Ohtani, well, you know, Ohtani gets passed because he pitched. well, you know, he's doing something done. Well, yes, nobody else has been given the opportunity.
I was just going to say that, and that's why it sucks that this is so groundbreaking and amazing, is because it really shouldn't be.
You know, I mean, do people honestly think that if given the opportunity and allowed to do it coming up through the minors, that Madison Bumgarner wouldn't have been able to do it? You know, I mean, he's a really good hitter now in the, you know, and he bats once every fifth game. Imagine if he was brought up through the minors as a designated hitter and a pitcher. You know, or we've mentioned Travis Wood. We saw Travis Wood play the outfield. Travis Wood could swing the bat. You know, Michael Lorenzen for the Reds is a very good hitter as a pitcher. There are guys out there that could do it, but it just wasn't the way baseball was played. So, you know, I mean, to compare Ohtani to, like, Jackie Robinson or something like that that I've heard people do is just ridiculous. You know, I don't believe Ohtani has received death threats, has he?
No, just some choice words from Stephen A. Smith.
Well, you know, that's Stephen A. Smith. He's got to do that to, you know, keep the network paying him. So, and what was his problem? Just that he didn't speak English? You know, I mean, there's a lot of guys who don't speak English that play baseball.
Oh, you should. You got to read the transcript. I don't know, the way he put it. You know, essentially, he'd like him better. He would be better for the league if he spoke English. You know, because he even commented, why does he need to have a translator come out every single time he, you know, does something because he doesn't speak English?
You know, I mean, obviously, for the league, they could push him even harder than they do now. But, yeah, I mean, is it really that big of a deal?
No, I don't. So, I mean, it was pretty funny, and not funny, but or I guess more ironic that Stephen A. Smith, you know, runs his mouth like that, and everyone's like, oh, but he said he's sorry.
Yeah.
Times ever changing.
Well, that's what you have to do. You know, like I said, I don't even know if he's apologized.
So, but,
well, now to be fair, I don't have a problem with what he said here. Apparently, as they use the word clowned here, Stephen A. Smith just clowned on Shohei Ohtani's 271, and that somehow the Angels being under 5 takes away from his greatness. Well, team sport, it does. Sorry.
Yeah.
271 isn't
much. That's true.
You know, and this guy's got his facts wrong because instead of Ohtani's ERA is 1.0, it's actually 3.47 because he got shelled by the Yankees. So,
shit. Oh, wait, I didn't have him. What do I care?
No. But, yeah, you know, I mean, but there's, you know, I'm never going to probably ever agree with Steven Smith on anything, but. You know, I mean, he gets paid to give his opinion. They pay him very well to give his opinion. He's supposed to be outspoken, just like good old Skip Bayless is supposed to be outspoken. You know, that's what these guys do. So this is the kind of stuff we're going to get. They're going to, you know, try to get the clickbait, as you said earlier. I feel kind of like a schmuck saying that word. But, you know, it's just how it is. You know, they got to get you to tune in. Oh, my God, what's he going to say? You know, God, why did he say that? And all that kind of stuff. You know, just how it is. So. The fun things we get.
But, you know, kind of rewinding just a little bit into the week. Well, I guess since there's no fantasy till the end of the week or whatever. How did your week go for the Snake League?
Yeah, well, I got beat by a dead team in one league. And then I lost in the other league by just a few points. So,
fortunately, Big Jack, just so you don't feel bad, we actually only have one dead team in that league, and I demolished them 25-4.
Then I didn't lose to a dead team. Yeah. I just got beat by a team that's having a bad. So,
yeah. you know, it's very interesting. I just totally different this year. When I checked it last week, because I was checking our leagues to see, you know, how many dead teams we had. And in this league, it's literally just a Manny being Manny. And, you know, I posted in the message board just to kind of get a feel of what all the guys or girls in the league think. And, you know, I'm thinking about more so next year. I'm not going to change anything for this year and start controlling a team. But, you know, I reached out to Manny being Manny because, you know, you mentioned he'd been there for a while, and I think he started, you know, joined our league in like 16 or 17. So it's been a while. And, you know, he didn't do anything last year. I don't even know if he really signed in this year. It said he signed in February. So I just sent him an email, but haven't heard back. So we'll probably go that route. I mean, the way the league's been going, even the sucky teams have still been changing their lineups. So I don't think we have to do the whole drop them at the bottom. And, you know, we'll just ask the guys that maybe didn't play as well if they want to come back. But no, I found it very interesting that we had almost an entire league that's still changing their lineup.
Yeah.
And in the, you know, in this, the auction league, there's actually only two teams that are dead teams. One of them, I think, gave up around the draft, and then another one hasn't logged in since Memorial Day. So, I mean, I think it's pretty impressive that, you know, with 20-team league, which is a lot more difficult, we still got everyone playing. Even the guys, you know, I made a comment about the dead teams, and the one guy's like, yeah, they'll probably beat me anyway, but still playing.
Yeah, no, I'm out there myself, you know, that's just what you got to do. So, you know, again, just, you know, just one of those things.
Yeah, and will you come back for the Home Run League next year?
No, I think you're gonna cut me. So
I can't cut you. There's only 13 teams. Oh, I'm only cutting the one guy.
Yeah, I did end up losing the one position I had gained earlier. I was in 11th for a while. Now I'm back to 12th. So I just can't.
You know,
I just can't. No matter who I pick, they just get hurt. So
now, you know, I kind of, you didn't say anything to me. I didn't get any tweets or emails about the trade I processed this week, or was it last week? I gave up Yandy Diaz and somebody else. I'm trying to find the transactions real quick.
Yeah, I looked at that.
Go.
I actually thought you got the better end of that deal, but maybe, you know.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to get your take on it because so I'm looking. I did find it. I traded Eric Hosmer and Yandy Diaz. You know, I was trying to. I was just Yandy Diaz. You know, he plays consistently, sort of, but not. And I just didn't have any room for him, so I figured I'd give him up. And then I guess what happened, Big Jack. Oh, wow, I traded both my first basemen away. That's what happened.
Oh,
I didn't even realize. So I didn't realize that at first. I was just thinking of Yandy as a utility kind of guy for some reason. And then Buster Posey got hurt. So now, you know, I had the extra catcher that wasn't full-time, but, you know, I was entertaining looking at your team. But then when Buster Posey went day-to-day for a few days, I didn't, you know, I was just too excited to make a trade. And not that I was looking to unload Eric Hosmer, but I felt he was one I could get the most value out. And I ended up with Kiki Hernandez and Hyunjin Ryu from – where is he playing now? Wherever he's playing.
Toronto.
He's got some solid – Toronto. So he's doing pretty well there. I'm not surprised at all, but I was I felt like I got the better end of the deal, so I'm glad you kind of agree with me. But, of course, Big Jack, as soon as I sent that trade, I sent it out late on a Friday or Saturday night, and Mega Powers just happened to be up. He accepted it like a half hour later. And, of course, in my head I'm going, did I do the right thing? I woke up the next morning to a trade offer from another team for three of his pitchers and maybe a position player for my starting pitchers. And I'm like, I think that's why when I woke up the next day and I you know, knew the trade had been processed already, I'm like, did I just make a bad deal? Are people thinking I'm sending out trades that make me look like I'm, you know, like that are worse off for me? So I'm kind of glad that you validated it, but it just kind of cracked me up. Like, so just because I make a trade, I'm open to stupid trades? Has that happened to you where you kind of process one and then you get a ridiculous one from someone else?
No, you know, that hasn't happened. I still, unfortunately, you know, I was still looking for a catcher, and, you know, I went over the league, and I got one offer, and it wasn't a very good one.
Which league was that? Is that the auction or the snake league?
You know, I can never remember which one is which. Which one is crap. Which, no, it's not this one. It's the other one. Which one is the Touch 'Em All League? What is that one? It's that league, whatever that is.
Oh, it's that would be the Auction League.
Yeah, that's the one I'm still looking for a catcher. So I've been pretty lucky. I picked up the guy all along, and he actually started putting up some numbers for me. So, you know, and then Carol King started to hit finally. So hopefully it'll work out, but.
You know, and maybe that's why I overlooked your team, or, you know, I couldn't figure out which team you were actually looking for the catcher. I didn't really look at the numbers for Caratini, but I was like, oh, he's got Caratini. And I saw you had the Colorado kid. So I'm like, maybe that's the wrong team.
No, that's it, because Caratini hasn't been hitting. You know, and I took a big gamble on him, you know, because basically the reason I gambled on him because was Barnes hurt. So I was like, okay, well, I'll take a shot here to catch regularly. Then, of course, I knew from being in Chicago that he would catch Darvish when Darvish started.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, you know, hopefully I would get something out of it. It's been tough.
Yeah, and I was right. The reason I was entertaining even looking at your team, but I just cut it off, was Buster Posey spent a few days not playing, and he was day-to-day. And this past weekend, he went on the IL. So.
Yeah, no, I know that. But we have did you see the other trade that was proposed in that league? I'm not quite sure how I feel about this. I'm guessing this guy, and I think it's the guy you traded with, the Mega Powers. Is that the team you made the deal with?
Yeah.
Yeah, he sent Nate Lowell and Wander Franco to a team for Christian Vasquez. So I'm guessing he must be hurting for catching, because that doesn't sound like a great trade to me. I mean, I know, well, Lowell was awesome to start the season, and I don't know circle hasn't exactly lit it up. But no, you're taking a big risk there, giving up on Franco. So yeah, like I said, I'm guessing he must be the catcher.
Yeah, because he actually proposed that trade, so there was no counter.
Yeah, well, you know, the same part is I would have dealt with him if he would have sent something to me. You know, I have a, you know, a catcher to move in that. So.
Yeah, well, and to be honest, Big Jack, I wasn't totally into Kiki, but I felt like I could get the best. That would be the best deal for me, was to get Ryu and then get Kiki. I honestly didn't even think he would trade him. I thought I'd get a counter offer. But I was thinking, Kiki seems like a guy I could use for trade bait with somebody.
You know, Kiki's the guy who's right up my alley because he plays every position. But I have a couple of those guys.
Your whole lineup is like those guys.
Yeah, I know. So, well, until they started falling off, and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at your team. I'm like, but all of his guys are multi-position players.
Yeah, but I did. I did hear a fantastic piece of today here, Dan. I don't know if you came across this one, but. Rob Manfred has said that it looks like we will have the end of the 7-inning double headers, and more importantly, the incredibly stupid runner on second.
Now, did he say that's happening? Or because I saw an article the other day, and of course it was titled to make him look stupid. I don't know if that was the whole premise. Okay. you're interrupting me. Yeah, I hope we can get rid of those things for next season. And I just didn't understand the hoping of eliminating those things, because if he was able to just assign them for the season, shouldn't he just be able to take it away? You know, it was my understanding, unless I'm wrong, was that a players union deal?
You know, my guess is, and, you know, again, I'm just guessing here, he may have to run it by the owners, because remember, he works for the owners. My guess is that he's going to have to go ahead. So let's end this, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we'll see how it's out. But, yeah, I don't know.
Well, so, I mean, I don't think the owners would have an issue with the 9-inning thing. You've got to wonder, though, with the whole extra innings kind of issue. I don't want to say issue, but where the owners stand on that. Because if you think about it, I can't remember the exact inning, if it's the bottom of the seventh or the top of the eighth, when they stop serving alcohol. You know, once it hits the bottom of the 10th inning, I mean, they're paying to keep this place open. You know what I mean? And they're not making that revenue off of that alcohol sale. Granted, you're not going to have, you know, and I guess I think it always depends on the situation, but you start getting into the later innings, of course you're not going to have, you know, the average of what stadium is, but let's just say 35,000 fans in the 13th inning. But still, you know, the keeping everything running, do you think that would make a difference in why they'd want to keep a stupid rule like that, or do you think they even care? Is it that much? I guess in the grand scheme of things, the amount of extra innings, if you sum it up, it probably doesn't add on a whole lot of overhead for the owners. But do you think that comes into play at all?
You know, it's always possible when it comes to those things that there is something like that going on, you know, that they would have to worry about. I don't know, but yeah, it is definitely possible that they would consider something like that.
I don't know. It just seemed kind of out there, because you know, I sat through a 13-15 inning game. I don't remember how many innings it was, and you know, obviously as the game went on, the crowd dwindled. But you know, for those people there, you know, I guess they're not buying as much food anyways, or alcohol.
Probably not. You know, it definitely would be, you know, would be, you know, would be interesting to know if that's how it kind of worked out. But yeah, no, I was just happy that it could, you know, I mean, you know, we both had that freaking 7-inning doubleheader, so. It'll be good to get that. Hopefully see that thing gone. Hopefully they'll be able to eliminate it, and we won't have to deal with it. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think the 7-inning thing bothers me less than the extra innings rule, but I'd rather see them both gone.
Yeah.
I mean, what's two more?
Yeah,
what's two more innings, to be honest with you?
But they have to start, stop. You know, they have to decide, is this a no-hitter? Is it not a no-hitter? You know, because, like, I'm seeing guys getting credit for 7-inning complete games. So you get credit for the complete game, you don't get credit for the no-hitter.
That doesn't make sense.
Okay. Right.
Well,
so, you know.
Not only that, Big Jack, you know, one of the things I thought it was to – diminish the time for the players at the park, you know, the whole thing. But, you know, as we talked last week, I watched the first game of a doubleheader, and I think I think it was an East Coast game, and they started at like 12 o'clock. So, and then they didn't have the second game until the start time was at 7. So, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, you know, the players don't need to be at the park for 12 hours. But when you're talking about cutting down time, why not just have them back to back? If you're going to do 7-inning doubleheaders,
yeah,
you know, give them like a 20-minute break. I mean, I just don't, unless you're trying to clear the park out and have two separate, you know, sets of fans. I mean, doubleheaders don't happen that often. Yeah.
You know, and that's the funny thing, because it's like, well, you know, they want to save players' times at the park. Well, when you have a split doubleheader, it's not like the players are leaving. So you're not saving them any time. You know, they're not going home in between games, or they're not, you know, basically
no,
they're staying at the park.
Well, and think about that, Big Jack. What if that were you? You know, you go home between games. Are you coming back to the second game? I'm not. I'm staying home.
You know, yeah, then, you know, I mean, imagine the chance you take, you know, you're going to leave. Obviously, you know, if you want to spend any time at home, you've got to leave immediately. Well, you're going to have to leave with all the fans. So now you're in traffic. God forbid somebody has an accident or something on the way, you know, while they're out of the park. So, I mean, there's just so much that plays into it or goes on with it that it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I just assumed that the whole point of the 7 innings was so that you could just speed up the game, but speed up the day.
Yeah,
the ninth inning or the seventh inning ends, and you're like,
things were done for the media because the media was complaining about the length of games. That's all they were for. It had nothing to do with anybody.
Yeah, but, you know, like I said, though, you do a 12 o'clock, the game ends at 3, 4, 3:30, you know, the latest, and then your next one's not till 7. So if you're media, you still got to get there at, what, 10 o'clock? And you don't leave till, you know, 11:30 that night?
It's time for you and I to go, but before I hit the music, tell me who wins the All-Star game and who your MVP is.
National League. No, American League and Shohei Ohtani.
There you go. That's what I wanted to hear. All right, so we're going to use the animal to leave them all. The basketball is so crazy to do it all again. You know what to do a long ball. BaseballMedia.com. Head on over to the ball will pop up sometime tomorrow. Well, up to home phone morning. Of course, while you're there, if you hit that link, it'll take you to the Facebook page. So go on over there and hit that link.
Don't forget to put it to at Sports Fan Radio. We're going to look at Dan and I about how much we'd like to do that. Whatever the stop on most of your business, thank you for the moment. Getting over to Queen's.com.